Well, there are notes, but not much of notes. So you have the first page, maybe. There's actually three pages. So turn your Bibles. Wow, what a nice looking group. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll begin reading in verse 14. Second Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. By the way, this morning kind of reminds me of what happens any time I teach and preach any place. Believe it or not, some of you think I am OCD. Actually, I am zero. If you can teach in the Philippines, you can teach any place. Dada. Because you get there and the sound system goes out right in the middle. Or the electricity goes off for an hour. Now, by the way, folks, electricity going off for an hour in America is not a problem, but when it's 100 degrees outside and you have 140 people in a room, yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Let's all stand. We're going to talk about the very last Baptist distinctive. This will not be taught in a lot of courses on Baptist distinctives. Part of it is it's probably assumed, but I don't want to assume it here. Verse 14, the Apostle Paul writes and says this, be ye, and this is not just talking about the individual, it's also talking about the local church at Corinth and all local churches, because if we remember the very first verse, actually, let's turn there just so we do remember. Look at the very first verse of the book, please. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. So, you know, even though this was written to Corinth, it wasn't just written for Corinth. So when he says, back to verse 14 of chapter 6, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That command is for all churches, including churches today, and it is a command that we both ecclesiastically and personally are not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He then asked what are called rhetorical questions. What's a rhetorical question? It is a question not looking for information. It's not what did you eat yesterday or how tall are you? He's kind of asking a question that you should know the answer to. He says, and by the way, in Greek, this is Paul chose, I think he got a synonym book and found every synonym to this one concept. You all know the difference between a concept and a word. You can talk about a word, love means love, but you can use many other words for love. So he uses every word he can find, I think, for this concept. So he goes on and says this, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what are the answers to those? None. That's a rhetorical question. Obviously nothing. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel or an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And then he makes one of these very profound statements. In a church like Lake County Baptist, before I came, I can guarantee you, without criticizing anybody, the emphasis has always been this. Your body, look up here please, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that is true. But that's not what this text is saying. He says, for ye, do you know what ye is? The local church, or the temple, the naos, the very holy of holies of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Then he applies this in verse 17, wherefore, come out from among them. So if you are in some way unequally yoked together with unbelievers, he says, come out. Young and old here, are you all listening? This is a fundamentalist church. You will never understand a fundamental Baptist church until you understand we actually believe that command. Where other people will continue in denominations while the denomination slides completely into the ditch, fundamental Baptist came out. That's the verse. Why did we come out? Let me ask you a question. What if we're part of a Baptist group that believes gay marriage is good? How can you believe it's bad and good and be part of the same group? Do you understand the problem? You've got to do what? Come out. Yes. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now he takes this and moves it to the next level of personal separation. Having therefore these promises, and we'll talk about these later hopefully, these promises are the ones that he's just stated. You know, things like, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Do you understand these promises? Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and what? What does that mean? There are some sins that are more external and there are some sins that are more. Which ones do you have the most problems with? Perfecting, bringing to its proper conclusion holiness in the fear of God. We'll at least get started with this morning. Let us pray, please. Father, thank you for this day. May this be a profitable morning, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, in your notes, if you have notes, we're going to talk about separation. It is the final Baptist distinctive. I think for some in the room, you'll start to understand a little bit of who we are a little bit better. We have to, I'll just begin. As a Bible-believing Christian and a Baptist Christian, I was saved at age 9, and I was taught the concept of separation even before I was saved, though I'm not sure that I ever heard the word. I'll wait till everybody looks up here. We're having a conversation here, friends. This is the reason a person can leave a church like this and go to a compromise church and not understand. This is a fundamental of the faith. This is the difference between my hero, D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, and J.I. Packer and J.R.W. Stott in 1966. This goes back into the 1920s in our country when good men stood for righteousness and other men said, we'll go along. Separation is who we are as Christians. We'll get to why that is. I was taught that, though I don't know if we ever heard the word separation. One thing was obvious from the preaching, teaching, and more importantly, as a young person, and by the way, as a young person, do you hear the preaching and teaching? I'll tell you what I heard. I got Joy Joy over here. You know what a little girl like Joy Joy hears? Verses. There were many verses that were read in the church where I grew up or quoted that I memorized just from sitting in church, and I didn't pay attention. My name was Anderson Tupper. You just heard it, you memorized it from hearing it. John 3:16, Ephesians 2:8-9, Psalm 23, many passages you just heard. But you also watched people. And by watching people, you realized Christians live differently. I think it's in your notes. Separation was not always used when discussing this issue, but this is fundamental to any kind of a Baptist faith. Christians live differently. Christians were distinct in their lifestyle. Please look at me. Do you realize that's not always common? Fact is, do you realize there's a church on every street corner? And this is, I have learned in my 25 years, Waukegan, Zion, North Chicago is the most over-churched place in America. It's worse than Greenville, South Carolina. Have you ever noticed how many churches are within a stone's throw right of this church? There's one here. There's two or three right up the road. If you go there, what are you going to learn? I don't know, but I do know this. Very few churches talk about being distinct. Why? Because Christians are good until you say you ought to be different. We have a hard time, by the way, you already know this. Males, what did you do at work when the dirty jokes came out? Most guys became silent. You understand, Christians are different. I was taught that, preached to me, but I actually saw it more in the Christians more than anything else. I'll just give you some of the things I learned, and by the way, you just learn it by observation. Ten Commandments, that was kind of foundational in the little country church I grew up in. And forgive all of these, because you can go to a church and all of this is fine. No drinking? Yes, every church I ever heard of was against drinking. Is that true today? Good grief, folks. There's people that I love very much that are now drinking. I'm dumbfounded. I want everybody from Atong Pagong over here to Sister An over here. I want to ask everybody a question, because we now have all kinds of Christians that think drinking is fine. What good comes from drinking? Please tell me. And why do we have people that name the name of Christ that think drinking is a good idea? By the way, Judy, you can tell her after Sunday school, that evil woman introduced me to a certain kind of tea. I love it. Do you know if I drink a gallon of tea, what's the side effect? Well, there's only one, correct? Do you think I'll forget what I did tonight? Do you think I'll wake up the next morning saying, what happened? Do you think I'll say something evil to... By the way, friend, what's the upside of drinking? I'm not going to go any farther. It bothers me that kids that grow up in this church go to drinking. I do not get something is missing. Maybe it's Christ that's missing. Maybe it's something else. I'm not mad at anybody. I do not understand. No drinking, no smoking, no gambling. How about this? No dancing. And when I say no dancing, I have to be very specific of the sexual variety. They weren't necessarily opposed to formal or traditional dance. No clubbing, no cursing, plus, frankly, just obeying Christ. As I say in your note, separation is not always mentioned as a Baptist distinctive, and other groups have certainly been separatistic and separatist. But for Baptists, this is not only taught repeatedly in Scripture, but it is interconnected with our other beliefs. Why are we separatistic? Why do we live differently? Why does our church not connect with certain things? Well, we believe in regenerate church membership. What's regenerate church membership, or a gathered church? That means when you get saved, God takes you out of the world and puts you into the body of Christ. So you're brought out of something into something. So just by believing that, you automatically believe in separation, yes or no? God has separated you. That's the whole point. You used to be part of the world, now you're not. Well, what else? Priesthood of all believers. We used not to be a priest. Once you get saved, now you are a priest unto God. All believers are priests. The autonomy of the local church. All of these Baptist distinctives cohere one to another. All right, so we'll just look at some broad ideas. You have some of them in your notes. You won't have all of them because there was a second snafu on the copier this morning. Number one, God Himself separates us from the world at salvation. Friend, this is fundamental to what it means to be saved. So let me say this. If you got saved in a broad evangelical church, you prayed a prayer in order not to go to hell, you got fire insurance. And I'm going to say this to you kindly. If you got saved that way, you were lied to. You were lied to. That's not all God is interested in. Actually, I'm pretty sure you can't even really show me that in the Scripture. God rescues people out of the darkness, brings them into his marvelous light. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, would you please? We might as well look at verses that talk about this. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. Everybody find it? Colossians chapter 1. We'll start reading in verse 12. The Apostle Paul writes, "Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath," meaning past tense, "who has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." So friend, the very nature of salvation was not a get out of hell card. It was a transfer, God rescuing you out of the darkness, bringing you into the kingdom of his dear Son. Verse 14, "in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Start reading in verse 3. I'm not trying to preach this morning. By the way, have you listened to contemporary Christian music recently? Have you watched Hillsong? Do you know anything that's going on in the world? Do you ever wonder why these people are, they live like pagans? Because they're discussing a different kind of Christianity. They're not even discussing Christianity. They're discussing spirituality. I'm a spiritual person. I worship. But when it comes to being saved, God calling us out of something, they're not talking about that. I worship you. And by the way, in the center of a person's existence has never changed. They are still the center. How do you know you got saved? Because you prayed a prayer? Or was there ever a time when this happened? Let me see if I can describe this. Jesus says, "If any man will come after me, let him," what's the next phrase? Has there ever been a time when you got done with you? And your emotions and you being the center of the universe? If you have not, sorry, there's no Christianity there. God changes us. Galatians 1, verse 3. "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins." For what purpose? "That he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." I'm not going to go any further other than to say this. I am deeply offended by Christians that go to churches, they say, where the worship pastor is tatted up and he looks like a tattoo factory because that's now cool in Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Does not God make you different? If he does not, we do not have Christianity. Why would I want to go back to the pig pen while coming to church and watch a guy that he's just so cool, so cool, so cool? Well, he's not very cool. I think the Bible calls that this present evil age. And hear me, if you have tattoos, this is what my thoughts are. Number one, I don't care. Number two, I don't want to see them. Thank you. All right, let's move back to the text. You say, "Pastor, you're being crazy." Friends, I think our kids get a little dose of spirituality. They don't get any Christianity, and they don't even know that God's calling us to be a different people. Let's look in the text at the verses that I have there. Acts 15, 14. "Simeon," which is another name for Peter, Simon Peter, "hath declared how God at the first did visit," and visit is an Old Testament phrase. It can either mean visit with blessings or visit with judgment. In this case, obviously, blessings. "How God did at the first visit the Gentiles." For what purpose? "To take out of them," out of the Gentiles, "a people for his name." This morning, I'll be talking about military stuff a little bit in church, a lot. Can I say this to you? When I joined the United States Navy, one of the things Company Commander Rogers tried to beat into our small brains, when you walk outside of this base, you represent the United States Navy. Friend, when you walk outside these doors, you don't represent anything here. This is just a gathering. When you go out into the world, you're supposed to represent a person distinct under Christ. He's rescued you out of that mess. I don't know why you'd want to go back into the mess. 1 John 5:19, and we know that we are of God. And the whole world, on the other hand, lieth in wickedness, or in the wicked one, or in the evil one. 1 Peter 2, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, not meaning weird, but peculiar to God. You're His people. Uniquely His, that you should show forth the praises of Him that called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but you are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Simply stated, I have in your notes, and I think I have everything in your notes. I don't think I even took anything out of these notes. Salvation always involves a kind of movement. And this is worthy of me teaching on or preaching on just these ideas. There is always an out of. God calls us out of the realm of death, sin, ugliness, the world. He calls us to someone, a relationship with God and God's people. And then He also calls us for something, for His name, for His praise, for His purpose, for His glory. And let me say this. This is called, look at me, this is called Christianity. Here's our problem. For too long, getting saved was getting your meal ticket out of hell. Christianity, every place you look is this. There is a movement out of something, to someone, for some things. So your mind should be always asking, has God called me out of that? Has God called me to Himself? Has God called me for purposes? And then you ought to be able to, here's why I'm here. Here's why God, here's what He wants me to do. Here's what He wants me to be. Here's how He wants me to live. There ought to be a from, a to, and a far. It's just Christianity. Certainly, John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed. There's that movement. He or she is passed from death unto life. There is a transition, a movement from one place to another, the realm of death to the realm of life. Revelation 17 uses some beautiful language of believers. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Now this is referring to the tribulation period. For the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with Him are called, meaning God Himself has called you by name out of the world to Himself. They are also chosen, and then they're the result being they are also faithful. That is true of believers. Acts 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Well, yes, because the church was distinct from the world. Everybody knew you were either a Christian or you weren't a Christian. There was none of this mingling and merging nonsense. Look at Acts 14:27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. So in your notes, regenerate church membership, a gathered church fits together perfectly. A local church is a called out assembly that is separated from the world to God and His people. That's what it means to be part of the church. That's what it means to be separate or to have been separated. So when we talk about separation being a Baptist distinctive, there are other groups, all the fundamentalist groups used to believe this, that God Himself separates us from the world at salvation. Now, let's take a breath. Let me take a breath. Let me take a drink. We got a problem. I came to Lake County Baptist in 1977, December, first time. I was a young fella in the United States Navy. And yes, I was half the man I am now in those days. And I have photographic proof to prove it. Now, friends, I got a question for you. Moody Bible Institute in 1977 was almost exactly what we would believe today. Now, you can now drink if you go there. Now you can play poker, I guess, because some of the big shots there play poker. I'm just asking a question. What's happening to us? I'm asking a question. You tell me. What's happening to us? Compromising, losing our impact, losing our distinctions. Why? Because Christians would rather fit in than stand out. Is that true? How many of you like to stand out? How many of you like to fit in? Just raise your hand. How many of you like to fit in? Let me ask you a question. By the way, you don't need to wear a certain kind of shoes. You know, we're not going to go back to the 1800s where we know they're Baptists because those women don't know how to dress. They all wear, what's that, Mark? What's that, Mike? Tarps? What was that thing where you did? Tarpistry. There you go. You'd have to go back here many years in our church. Friends, I do not believe a Christian woman or a Christian man needs to look weird. But I also don't think we need to live like pagans. You know my greatest fear? Look at me. Everybody hear this. My greatest fear of Lake County Baptist is we don't want to go back to Billy Baptist stuff, but some of us want to move over here. Truth is truth. Error is on both sides. I don't want to go back to people, you know, looking at your, do you have a tattoo? You're of the devil. I don't know if you're of the devil if you have a tattoo. Now, Mike Rock has a tattoo, and we know he's of the devil. Can I have an amen? Do I think tattoo? I'm not trying to be funny. Do I think they're sinful? I think they're stupid. I know what it's going to look. Mike, oh, those tattoos really look good now at about 70, don't they? Better than... You normally can't even tell what they look like at this age. I got a question. Is it all right to be different without being weird? By the way, a church always faces two sides. We're either moving to the right or moving to the left, and I'm not interested in being weird, but I'm not interested in compromise. I'd like to kind of just obey Christ and move forward and be a distinct people. And I think there's some things that kind of demonstrate that. Now, if I go out to eat and we go to a place, Pastor Kowak and I do, that, and they have those slot machines, I have to grab a hold of Pastor Kowak and say, no, you may not use the slot machine. Do you believe that? No, he won't eat fish. He actually has to grab me because, listen, folks, is it okay to use slot machines? The answer is, that's stupid. There's so many sinful things. Here's our problem. When I moved in 1996, I see Nina. Nina, were you born in 1996? How old were you? You were four in 1996? How old were you in 1996? You weren't even born yet. Okay, well, you are a beautiful young baby. See, your dad loves you so much that he's thinking, you know. Listen, Nina, when I came to into this church in 1996, are you all listening? It was against the law in the city of Zion to sell alcohol. Or to have gambling. But they don't have gambling, Mike. They have gaming. Just call it something different. It was gaming. May I say this to you? Why is that true? Because the churches, they don't have a problem with anything anymore. Love Jesus, whoever he is. I believe, friends, God himself separates us from the world. Number two, this is obvious. Not only does he separate us from the world at salvation, God commands us to stay or to remain separated. A distinct people's all that means. Doesn't mean weird. Doesn't mean you got to wear certain kind of shoes or certain kind of... None of that. And honestly, externally, I don't have an issue with anything at Lake County. I think most of the women dress very modestly. I think everything is beautiful. The only problem I have is some of us are sliding into the world. We're more interested in our days off than we are our days on. We're more interested in what we, you know, it's just a little slide to the left. But God himself, think about this. So God rescues you out of that mess, and then you want to go back into it? No, 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 no. The God that brings you out of this present evil age wants then for you to remain separate. Duh. Now, we're not claiming any kind of perfection. You know, I have a grandson. I have several of them. Evan is almost perfect because he's 2 weeks old. Jesse is perfect except when he's not. Oh, my goodness. You know, Jesse has a very expressive face. The problem is sometimes that face expresses more than a smile. And he's now 19 months old. Now, this is just personal opinion. He has an expressive face like a certain American in this room. And he can really be snotty when he doesn't get his way. My grandson? And you know, when he eats, it's shocking. He's only a year and is it 8 months, 9 months? He was feeding himself yesterday with a spoon, eating rice. But sometimes he feeds it all over his body too. Now, you know, you have to clean him up. But the ideal is, after a period of time, God not only rescues us out of the world, like Jesse, you know, he's born, but hopefully after a period of time, he puts the food in his mouth, not in his hair, not on his dad, not in his high chair. Yes? So here's the thing, friend. God saves you out of something. He wants you to maintain that. Is that fair? He wants you to be different. He doesn't want you to go back into the hog slop and say, man, this is fun. Look at the text. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, in 1 Corinthians 5:19, or 5:9, excuse me, Paul wrote, I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators, but not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then ye must needs go out of the world. So friend, this is not telling you you can't work at a job with unsaved people. This is not referring to, man, I can't go to Jewel because unsaved people go to Jewel. Or I can't go to that restaurant, unsaved people go there. Yes? Otherwise, what would you have to do? Leave the world. And there have been Baptist groups that pretty much teach this. Jenny, would you believe one of the Baptist churches in St. Louis, where we were for 8 years, Lafayette, the entire church moved an hour or an hour and a half west, like into the wilderness? Now, it wasn't a lot of people. They all moved. They want to get away from the pagans. Friends, you can't get away from pagans, but listen, unequally yoked, you're not unequally yoked when you go to the gas station and put gas in your car. An unequal yoke is something much more narrow than that, and we will get to that. So let's move to at least cover this morning. Look at verse 14 of John 17. I have given them thy word, and thy word hath, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. I mean, the Lord does. If the Lord wanted us to be taken out of the world and isolated in a cave, friend, he could have done that. But he says, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So here is some very obvious thoughts. This is obviously not a call to withdraw from life or culture, meaning like the Amish or the Mennonite do. They kind of withdraw and they don't want to have contact with all those pagans out there. Let's withdraw. I say next, this is also not a call to have no unsaved relationships. Now, friend, when I was in Bible college, that was what was taught. I'm going to say it very directly. Jack Hiles taught this repeatedly. Don't have unsaved relatives, friends. The passage is not saying you can't know people, talk to people, and be kind to people, and have interaction with people. Actually, what I learned at Bible college directly from Jackie Boy Hiles and that whole movement was to withdraw from culture. Jesus teaches 180 degrees the opposite. The difference is he doesn't want you to go join them and hang out and party. He wants you to bring them to you. Have you ever read Luke 14? When you have a feast, who do you call? Your friends or not your friends? So we'll talk about that down the road. My point is, I was taught, don't have unsaved friends, don't have anybody you know. And then I'm thinking, well, who do you talk to? Who do you witness to? Next page, please. This is not a call to withdraw into the wilderness somewhere. This is not a call to withdraw from political involvement, at least on an individual basis, academic advancement, or corporate advancement. But it's also not a call to naivete. Because, friend, there is a danger of being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We will come back, if we can, to Matthew 10:16. Let's go to the statement under that. This is a command not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, meaning this: marriages, close business endeavors, singular friendships, any kind of a close partnership. Now, do you all know the passage this is from? Look, does anybody know the passage this is from? In Deuteronomy? You don't take an ox, or I'll use a different word, a donkey. Look up here. Look up here. You don't take a donkey and you don't take an ox and put them together in a yoke. Why not? It does not work because the animals have different strides and different behaviors, and you could never get those animals to work together. He's using something that here's our problem. None of us in this room are farmers. And by the way, please don't raise your hand and say, I always get some, oh yeah, I've done that. No, you haven't. My father did this as a little kid, and it's been gone in America for 70 or 80 years, where people farmed with animals. You can't take two different kinds of animals and work together. Why? Because it's an unequal what? What's that word? You're yoked together, and those two animals just won't work. They just won't. Now, have I experienced that? No, I haven't. Because, folks, we have had machines in this country since a long time ago. But I did have my father and my older uncles that did this. So the Bible is saying, in these fundamental relationships, marriage, why wouldn't you marry an unsaved person? Because it doesn't take 15 minutes to know something. An unsaved person's going off in that direction, and you're going off in that direction, and this ain't working. And if you're truly saved, you can't go in that direction. You say, well, can you just be good? Yes, somebody's going to give. Somebody has to compromise. And normally who compromise? It's the Christian. Well, friend, this is the introduction. Next week we'll finish. Next week, friend, you'll have three pages of notes, and we'll finish this up next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your kindness to us. Lord, help us to realize that you change us. You set us free from a lot of ugliness. Why in the world would we want to go back and dabble in that? Help us to remain and to stand and to be not unequally yoked together in these close endeavors that cause us to have to choose Christ or not. Bless our time now, I ask, and I ask this in Jesus' name.